the tone. Then say your name and press the pound or hash key.
Oregon Department of Aviation.
When you hear the...
Hello, good morning. Can everybody hear you?
Can you hear you?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Where's... Are you seeing people?
I'm just going to sit on the side.
Okay.
That's you guys. Here
Mitch
you go.
Likes to walk around.
I do. So, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Mitch Schwecker. I'm the. I don't know. That's one thing. You all can hear me. Can you hear me on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Mitch Schwecker.
Right here. It's your brother and over here at Sisters.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Mitch Schwecker. I'm the director of the department. And I'm here just to welcome you and say we're really excited about what's a new program, and you're the first ever aviation review committee for these types of grants. So welcome to Salem and welcome to working with the Department of Aviation. This is a program that we put in place about 2 years ago. It sunsets in 6 years. We're hoping that you all like it enough that you want to keep it after the 6 years, and you can help us to keep it in place. This is a great program for helping out rural airports and really all airports in the state here. So, again, welcome on behalf of the Department of Aviation. I think you got a great team here, Heather Peck, Naomi Ramos, and Matt Lawyer, that have done a great job of organizing this. So we appreciate any feedback that you have for us. And you have my card. If you don't, I'll be happy to provide you one. If you have any comments, please provide them to the team that we have here, but feel free to give me a call as well if there's anything that you see that we can make better on this program here. So, again, welcome to Salem, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Okay, now that everybody's awake and the coffee's functioning.
Boy, that was fun, wasn't it? Okay, let's try this now. It's fairly new. I do apologize if you have any glitches. Everybody on the phone, can you hear us pretty good? Hearing none?
Yeah, Sun River can hear you fine.
Wonderful. Well, again, good morning.
Yeah, Sisters, we're okay. Kind of broken, but we're okay.
We do have a slight delay. It's about a half a second. So it's a housekeeping opportunity, and we'll ask folks to talk relatively slowly so we can make sure folks can hear them. Again, good morning. My name is Matt Lawyer. I'm the program coordinator here with my partner, Naomi Ramos. I will be serving today as the facilitator for today's event. Naomi will be doing the majority of the presentation, and together, if needed, we'll answer your questions. We are very happy to have your participation. I don't think we can overemphasize the importance and value you have brought to this process. I'd like to take a few minutes to go around the room, introduce ourselves, and please state your name and the act you represent. Again, pushing the button to activate your mic.
Good morning, I'm Naomi Ramos. I'm the other program coordinator here to help you, help answer any questions, and I will be, again, driving the PowerPoint presentation for you.
Good morning, I'm Heather Peck. I'm the program manager at the Oregon Department of Aviation, and I oversee this grant program and other programs statewide with all of the airports.
Good morning, I'm Shelley Humble, City of Crestwell Airport Manager and Lane Act Representative for airports.
Good morning, I'm Chuck Covert from the Columbia Gorge Regional Airport. I'm from the Lower John Day Act.
Good morning. My name is Jim Belay, and I'm representing South Central Oregon Act and representing Lake and Klamath Counties.
Good morning. I'm Gary Judd. I manage the Bend Airport for the City of Bend, and I'm representing the Central Oregon Act.
I'm Haley Walker, Grand County Regional Airport, representing the Southeast Act.
And I'm Doug Wright, LeGrand Mini County Airport, representing Northeast Area.
Chris Bailey, City of Albany, Cascade West Act, which is Lynn Benton and Lane Counties.
Craig Pope, Polk County Commissioner, representing the Mid-Willamette Act, Polk, Marion, and Yamhill Counties.
Jennifer Groth from the Southwest Act. I'm from Coos Bay. I work for Southwest Oregon Regional Airport.
Vern Case, I'm with Rogue Valley International Medford Airport, and I'm the representative for the Rogue Valley Act.
Hello, this is Jim.
My apologies, Jim, sorry.
Jim Knight from the Northwest Act.
Hi, good morning. I'm Doug Doust, former mayor of Troutdale. I'm with ODOT's Region 1 Act, which is the Portland metro area all the way over to Hood River. And I worked with the Port of Portland on the Troutdale Airport's master plan just last year, and I had the U.S. Forest Service Aviation Program, part of their program for the states of Oregon and Washington.
Okay, again, I apologize for the feedback, negative feedback through the system. As an additional housekeeping item, we do request those people that are on the phone line to please mute your phone to ensure that there's no feedback from the other participants.
Are there just two people?
It sounds as if, so we do have Sun River on the phone, and it sounds like we've also got Sisters. If there's anybody else, would you all please take a moment to identify yourself and state which airport you work with?
Starting with Sun River.
Oh, great. Yes, I'm Rob McDowell, Director of Recreation at Sun River Resort, representing our airport, S21.
In addition, Josh Willis and Thomas Samuel from Sun River Resort.
Thank you.
And David Campbell and Sisters, representing 6Q05 Sisters Airport.
Linda Tepper in Klamath Falls, representing the Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport.
This is State Representative Gene Wisnitz, listening in for part of the meeting. Appreciate the meeting and here obviously to support Sun River's request.
Okay, have we got anybody else on the phone line?
Okay, and just as kind of a additional housekeeping thing, sometimes if you're on a speakerphone, you're speaking on a conference line, they don't necessarily work very well. So if you do have the opportunity to speak directly into the hand device, that'd be great. In the audience, we have one individual, so if you'd like to introduce yourself as well, please.
I'm Bill Graup. I'm the mayor of Aurora and representing the Aurora Airport Region.
Okay, so I'm going to do my best flight attendant demonstration here. I've never done it, so if I fail, I'm sorry. So the exits are behind those of you across from me. We've also got emergency exit here. Please do not go out those doors for sightseeing. They will sound an alarm. Behind over here, we have the restrooms, also water fountain, and to my right rear, we have coffee and tea. I put out carafes of water and cups on the tables. So please help yourself. If you have a hotel receipt from your stay, please give it to myself and Neamos. Neil, just combine your first name and last name. That was awesome. give it to myself or Naomi to ensure we can get payment on that. So at the end of today's meeting, we will be requesting that this group nominate a chair. The chair will serve as a facilitator for next year's meeting, so I won't be doing this. I'll just be focusing on this sound part. The chair will also help staff determine location opportunities as well as the time for the review. Now that is, we're going to stay consistent with what we've done, where we do request, you know, sort of a straw poll of time and location. Sorry? Yes, and also the ARC chair for today will basically serve as the representative of the ARC to the State Aviation Board in March. But that doesn't preclude you all from attending that meeting, but this would just be the person to speak on behalf of this group. So keep that in mind as we go through today's process. If you are so willing to selflessly nominate yourself, that'd be great. Highly encouraged. The next piece that I want to go through is going to be voting. Our recommendation is that the decisions made are a majority vote for the recommendation to the State Aviation Board. We are going to do our best to follow Robert's Rules of Order, where we open something with a motion, followed by a second, followed by a discussion, and then a final vote. Staff will call a roll and request your aye or nay reaction. There are 12 votes. A tie will result in a failed vote and be returned back for discussion and further deliberation. Is everybody on board with this? Okay. So for this point on, we'll treat that as a straw poll, and from this point on, any discussions or decisions will be made via a majority vote. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to turn this over to Naomi, and she is going to tell you about our wonderful program and why it is we are here today. Thank you.
I apologize, I am waiting for my computer to restart.
They like to do all of our updates on Thursdays.
Seriously.
So as we're waiting for this to come up here, in front of you, you do have your agenda. We will largely follow the agenda to a T. If we need breaks, please advise and we can definitely take a break for you.
So the materials that we handed out in front of you, and I'm just going to help Naomi out here where she logs in, we did give you a copy of the agenda. In addition, we gave you a copy of the Oregon Administrative Rule 738-125-0030 and 0035. These two sections of rule may come into play later on in the conversation. We've also given you the project summary. I can hold this back as far as anybody may need, but the reality is it is small print. We do apologize for it, but it's going to be even harder to see on the slide up here. And we did give you a hard copy of the slide presentation, so that way if you're struggling seeing it on the screen, you can have that directly in front of you. That's it for now.
And the rules may seem formal, but don't let that scare you. Just feel free to talk as you would any other way. We just wanted to kind of set the ground rules for you guys so that we can have a starting point.
Gotta love computer updates.
So we can go ahead and just get started off with the hard copy for now. So if you turn the page, you'll see the timeline. And basically, we started this whole grant application process in September. The grant applicants did have a little bit over a month to submit their hard copy applications to us. Followed by that, Matt and I did a three-day review of the application. Non-subjective, it was completely based off of a formula that we had, and we applied the responses provided by the applicant into that formula, and that provided us with a score based off of completeness. That was then moved over to the ACTS, and their role in that was to grade and score the applications. They did review them based off of statutory considerations. Some of you may be familiar with those from Connect Oregon. Okay, and so that brings us here. we've compiled the score that resulted from the completeness review and from the act review, and that gave us an application score, which is what you will be reviewing today and breaking ties based upon that. Your recommendations will be brought forth to the Aviation Board next month, and they will then be deciding which projects will be approved for funding. Priorities 1, 2, and 3 are all statutorily driven. They, in the application question 9, drove which of these priorities the application fell into, and part of the completeness review was to ensure that the application did in fact belong into that priority. So for example, if we received an application requesting assistance with their federal funds, we made sure to look at the Federal Aviation Administration's capital improvement project list and make sure that that project was in fact on that list and approved for funding from the FAA. So if they were not, we sent back a response and requested that they revise their application and look into one of the other categories. All of the applications, if awarded for funding, will need some skin in the game, so to speak, so they will all be required to put up a match for their dollars. And the way that the match is determined is based off of their category of airport. Each airport has a category, and that can be found in the Oregon Aviation Plan. So it ranges from 5% for those more rural airports to 50%.
And if I could just interject, this isn't new to our agency. We use the same formulation for our pavement maintenance program and the FAM grants that were originally set forth. So we didn't create anything new. All of this was already vetted, so we wanted to keep as much that was vetted and successful as we could into this program.
So tasks for the ARC today are to, again, review the three different priorities. We've separated the 67 applications into three different spreadsheets that you'll see so that it can make your life a little bit easier today. We have the final number of how much money we have to give away this cycle, and based upon that, it's possible that all of Priority 1 and Priority 2 projects will be funded, and we still need you guys to rank and to break those ties.
Well, not rank, but vet those scores.
Yeah, vet those scores.
Right. So the good news is we do have more money than we thought we were going to have originally. So that's such a plus. It's really great.
And so again, kind of reiterating what Matt said, we will be using the ORS and the Oregon Administrative Rules to help you in your scoring of the project.
So that's not actually breaking lines, it's breaking ties.
So how much money do we have?
Actually, good question. That's the next slide. So, at first, we anticipated having only about $1.3 million, and actually, it turns out we have $1.7 million available for this first match cycle. And so that is money that has been collected from January 1, 2016 through December 31st, 2016. It's all based off of revenue that's collected from aviation fuel and jet fuel, and so this is not a hard number for the next cycle because it may fluctuate. In total, 24 applications in priority one bucket requesting over $1.1 million. Four applications under priority two, which is safety and infrastructure in accordance with the Oregon Resilience Plan. $314,000 were requested there. And the third priority, the economic development, 27 applications, which as you can see, request was $2.8 million, much more than we have in available dollars. Mm-hmm. This here is just to provide you with a overview of what we will be looking at. The ranking, the prioritizing will not happen based off of, it's not going to happen on the PowerPoint. We actually have an Excel spreadsheet with running totals so that you can see as you move projects up and down. 24 priority 1, 4 priority 2, and you'll notice the cells that are in green and highlighted, those are where the ties will need to take place. Priority 3 projects, 27 altogether.
Could you say that last thing again, in the green?
Yes, those highlighted in green and gold, that's where the application scores are tied. Okay. So off to the right side, you'll notice a couple of 171s here, 168. Okay.
So to clarify, we need you to break those ties and rank them where we have ties throughout the entire program.
How do you determine what...
Turn the mic on, please.
It's Jim Knight from the Northwest Act. How do you determine the percentage of the total that goes in each of the three categories? So what percentage does Category 1 and then Category 2 and Category 3 receive or allocated towards the total account?
Good question. So a percentage is actually not allocated to each priority. So after we start with the Priority 1, and after all of those dollars have been built, all of the project approved, then if we have left money, we look at the next one.
One of the things to consider in this document that will be helpful for us is very similar to what we went through in the Connect 6 grant application process, is that we were able to keep a running total as we approved grants and thought that these were valuable. When we saw the depleting numbers of the total grant amount of what was left, because we're going to get down to the end and a lot of grants are not going to be fulfilled, but it is really helpful to have that running total that demonstrates, okay, here's what we've approved so far, and maybe that's what you plan to do anyway.
Yes.
So that's a fantastic point, and to speak a little bit, and I want to go specifically to the rule, because this was a very objective process, okay? So Oregon Administrative Rule, 738-124-0035 sub 8 sub A sub A again, basically says first to the FAA, second, and I'm paraphrasing here at my own detriment, second to the Oregon Resilience Plan, and third to economic development. So it is rule driven. The rule does tell us that, you know, to consider this, if the amount of money in the Federal Aviation and AIP requests was greater than the amount we had available for this year, the conversation would only be about the Federal Aviation AIP grant money. And so we're just really thankful this year to be able to touch all three pots.
I think what his point is that have a visual of the running total.
Yeah, and I was going to get there.
And
so, yeah, and Naomi's got an example of that. So.
And actually, one last thing I'd like to point out is those applications that submitted under Priority 2, which again is with the Oregon Resilience Plan, in order for them to actually move forth in the review process, they have to be specifically called out in the Oregon Resilience Plan, I apologize. And so we did have at least one application come through, and they were requesting dollars from that priority bucket, but since they were not called out in the Oregon Resilience Plan, we had to decline and request that they look into possibly applying under a different priority bucket.
And looking towards the future, to expand on that conversation just a little bit, they gave us like 3 pages out of a 270-page document. And so there is some discussion. I know that Director Swecker is working very closely with Mike Harriman, who's the governor's resiliency manager. And so there is some consideration in how this is going to look. We don't have good answers for you right now. I'm not going to pretend to shoot from the hip and promise anything, but there is. This is something that is near and dear to Director Swecker's heart, having been a former search and rescue guy in the Navy. It's very, very important, so we are looking at this. And so that conversation may expand at some point, but this was just limited to what's
names that those airports presently identified in those three pages that they gave us.
And just to add one thing, because we collected more revenue than we had originally anticipated, priority one will be fully funded. Priority two will be fully funded. We still need to break the ties for administrative purposes to keep, you know, to keep current with our process. And then priority three is going to have to break the ties to and vet the scores as they're listed. As you do that, there will be a running total, and it is set up format sort of like Connect Oregon, although not as objective, you know, as the final committee has the ability to move things all over. This program is more statute driven than that program. So. But yeah, you'll be able to see the total.
So I just want to be clear then, for Category 3 projects here, a lot of this is just going to be an exercise.
So in terms of looking at, and we're going to dive into the ranking, basically now. We're looking at the ties, we're going to go through priority one first, we're going to go through priority two, and priority three. It is, this group could say, leave the scores as they are, and we'll recommend them 1 through 24 in the IEP, just as they are. You can do the same thing for the resilience plan if you wish. And I guess the same degree, you could do that also with the economic development category. But it's important that this group recognize, you know, the scores, like Heather said, are statutorily driven. They're from the rules. We're not, there's no emotion involved in this from our end. We're not picking favorites here. And so I think we need to be considerate of the time that you all put into reviewing the statutory considerations and making those determinations, and have that conversation based off of that.
I just want to be clear that everything we're going to do in the first two categories doesn't move the needle on the outcome at the bottom.
Correct.
That's right.
Okay.
Correct.
So I'll make sure of that.
Absolutely.
So then the rest of the argument may be about
priority
$300,000 worth of funding for Category 3.
That's
priority
correct.
3.
That's correct.
So I just want to put that out there for context. Yeah. We're trying to determine whether or not we're going to go through a whole long exercise.
That's right.
Just to get the same bottom line.
Absolutely, and that's really good to bring up. It may not be like this next year, depending on how many applications we get. We could be having this discussion in priority one only. Our hope is that we don't. Our hope is that it's similar to this, but we do want to walk through the whole process and let you guys make those decisions too, though, because you are the committee, and that's important to us, that you guys have a say and can report back to the board with how you view things and your comments.
So along the same line, if we care what the final app score is, and if the aviation board cares what the final app score was for all of these projects, and it's pretty much given that priority one, all of those projects will be funded.
For the second.
Why do we need to prioritize or break the ties? In other words, what you're saying is we need to prioritize all of the projects in priority one. I know we're breaking the ties just in the green ones, but why do we need to do that?
Well,
if the app scores will be important to the aviation board also.
Just us ranking them 1 through 20, so we don't have any ties. You can accept them as they are right now, and that would just allow us to number it 1 through, you know, how the list goes, 1 through whatever, if you're fine with that.
I would be fine with that. Get on with the process, because
okay.
The outcome's the same.
Yeah, just crazy. The critical mass on the money doesn't happen up here.
Right.
So I would move that we submit it as is for the good of the timing, since the funding will definitely handle at least the upper portion of the ties.
Did I read somewhere that each airport could only request up to $150,000?
That's correct.
And so...
Per application.
Per application.
Okay.
No limits to the applications.
Right. That could have been confusing, and so I just wanted to make sure that we got that clear, because there are airports out here that certainly requested over $150,000, but separate application.
That's similar to Connect Oregon as well. Statutorily, that language did not change when the legislature adopted this language. So Connect Oregon is very similar. You can submit as many applications as you like.
And strategically, that's not a bad thing to do, because on the ones where the money gets tight,
yeah.
If you have a great big plum out there with a lot of money, it can get eliminated because it's too big. It's broken into several projects. Some of them can be very palatable.
$150,000 was a good set point, because it allows us to distribute as much as we could, touch as many airports as we could, contribute to large infrastructure projects, but also contribute to the smaller airports who don't receive those FAA grants as well. $150,000 is also a magic number that requires a little bit less Department of Justice review on our side. Everything's reviewed ahead of time and doesn't hold up another process that would take an additional month, 2 months.
So you can see that we've got fairly far into all three categories by having that amount as the maximum amount per grant. That's not in statute. That's in the rule, and it's changeable for future iterations of it. And so inputs from all of you are welcome for future iterations of the grant process. I wrote, for example, down your note about 150 per application versus per airport. We'll make sure that's much clearer in the next.
There's no minimum amount you can ask. We did have a lot of smaller asks, which we were happy about and expected that too. Not everybody asked for them.
So I'd like to pause for a second. We did have a motion on the table.
I was going to second the motion.
I want to clarify Mr. Case's motion. It was a little unclear. Is your motion to move forward Priority 1 only, or Priority 1 and Priority 2 as is?
Well, let's take it as Priority 1 to keep it simple, because Priority 1 is fully funded.
So
is Priority 2.
Okay. Then I'd say 1 and 2 because they will be funded, and we'll save an hour worth of jiggling the positions.
So the motion is to approve the list as is for Priority 1 and 2, and rank them 1 through 24 as they currently sit based on the scores, and recommend that to the State Aviation Board. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second.
Can we have comment?
We will. So we have a motion and a second by Mr. Case and Ms. Groth. Okay. Discussion. Mr. Dowse.
Well, I'm okay with that simply as to hurry up the process, but when I look at some of the scores in the Priority 2 scores, the app scores are fairly low with the 97 airports, and some of the Priority 3 projects, their scores are way higher, and so I want us to consider that maybe we want to select some Priority 3 projects over those two Priority 2 projects.
Statutorily.
We can't do that.
By rule, we cannot do that. It's stated in Division 124 that first, second, and third. So it's done purposely like that, so that we can't basically set an economic development project for signs over Federal Aviation Administration.
Or an Oregon resiliency project.
The
statute was written to prioritize the priority ones to leverage federal dollars, and priorities two to take advantage of funding that's really not very robust for resiliency or emergency response type of things. And then the third category, economic development, while it's important, I think the legislature ranked them for specific reasons.
Mr. Lane.
Yeah, I would ask if you can, there's people on the phone that might want to know what Priority 1 and Priority 2 is. Is there any possibility to get that information to the people on the phone that might be necessary for them to know?
Are you speaking of the specific projects or the information that relates to what qualifies for priority one versus priority two?
Is there any way to put it on the internet?
We do have all of the information on what identifies priority one and priority two. Now, we don't have the specific projects at this point online. However, at the conclusion of today's event, this information will be published in preparation for the State Aviation Board's consideration.
Is there anybody on the phone that needs to vote?
No, sir.
So, the ones on phone are applicants. It's also part of the application process. How the projects are prioritized. So they had a choice, and they pick a box on the application which priority that they're going to ask for.
Mr. Knight.
Can this committee reject any of the category one projects to loosen up funds to go to a different category? Could we reject any items on category one so that it allows extra money for a category three project?
I think the answer is no, unless there was something that made it illegitimate, and then it would have probably been identified in the screening process, because there were 12 applications that didn't meet the criteria, but if it meets the criteria, I think we're obligated to fund it.
Staff did actually make sure, and we did reject applications. If it didn't meet the criteria or was questionable, I meet with the FAA directly to make sure that these projects are happening in this funding year. So,
it didn't mean to sound like a trick question at all. I happen to know that one of the applications in a category one of three applications they submitted, it was the least important to them of the three applications. And here it shows up in a category one. And it's going to get, I mean, they're going to be excited to death to get the money, but it wasn't a high priority compared to the other two applications. So that was the basis of my question. Is it this committee's responsibility to evaluate whether or not any of these applications should remain or to be rejected? And if that's not our purview, that's great news.
I don't believe it is. And all of the priority one FAA ones were extremely vetted already.
So I've got Mr. Wright and Mr. Case.
So when would we get to priority three? Only if we have a large sum of money? Or how would that district, is that just the way it's always going to be? Because even in the next go around of applications, if we have a large number of ones and twos, do they always be funded and we never get to category three? Is that how the rules are set up?
That's very possible, the way that the statute is written. Now, we could ask for a statutory change for next year. That's not out of the question. But right now, the interpretation is that we fund in the order of priority based on the statute.
So then it's potential that we wouldn't have any economic development projects funded under this program?
It's possible, but fortunately, I think we're going to get probably two or three down into the economic development projects. I think the good news is we can fund all of the federally funded grants and leverage that 90% return plus all of the emergency response grants, such that it's not a bad news story that we got as deep into the program as we did.
So then after we did rank the one and twos, if there was money left over, we could then go into the category?
Yes, that's exactly where we are.
So additionally, too, we collect fuel tax for this, right? So we will also be rolling over unused portions of grants. Maybe some got started a little bit sooner than they had anticipated. So maybe their ask was $100,000, but because they started sooner, they're only going to need 80. That 20% will roll over into the next cycle, or 20,000.
Mr. Case and Mr. Schultz.
Kind of a comment to what was just said. I think the way this will evolve is we learn a lot about the grants. The next round of applications will be more sophisticated. If the money is being paid into categories, you want to find projects in those categories, and it makes you more competitive.
Ms. Short?
Yes, I think it's great that we're leveraging this money for the FAA grants, because we get a big bang for our buck, but I have a little concern about the non-NIFIS airports, that they have very limited opportunities to make improvements. And I'm just looking at, you know, the Arlington that's in Region 4, and they're in desperate need of something, or they're not going to have an airport. And so I don't know what we could do to have special consideration or consideration for the non-NPS airports, but I think it's important that we take some of this funding somehow and help those airports that have limited opportunities.
Well, and I'm gonna take an opportunity for a second, recognizing that there's almost double the amount of economic development requests than is currently available for funding. What's going to help Director Strucker here in about 2 weeks is that we're going to be able to show the value of this program in the long run and the necessity of this program for those airports that don't have the funding and are otherwise not recognized by the Federal Aviation Administration. And so, while not everybody's going to walk away happy, it's going to largely give Director Strucker the opportunity to say, look, this is a very valuable program, and we have heard the concerns of the Aviation Review Committee, and those will be noted, I'm sure, at some point in his conversation to the legislature about this. So, good comments. Yes, ma'am.
So, what percentage of the airports in the state are non-NPS?
Boy, about 40%. Out of 97 public use, 55 of them are federal funded.
Thank you.
Sure.
And I just, going back to this is the first year, so it's great that we have this dialogue. One of the questions, one of the comments I think that we need to move forward, whether it's a statute rewrite or what have you, is that they do need to look at economic development, because that is also very important. And maybe it does mean that we have to set aside a specific amount of percentage of the fuel tax that goes directly into Category 3, because I think we're missing a lot of the possible positive outcomes of this grant system.
I would agree, primarily because if we grow the economics, the FAA is more likely to fund additional projects to put us into a priority one.
Well, and I'll tell you that I know that Jeff Keynes, who does all of our work with the FAA, is doing a tremendous job of trying to get those dollars in the grant. He really does a great job. You know, if there's funds available, he's getting them to NPS airports. And hopefully, at some point, that might, this program might show the FAA that we give as much as Colorado and start helping us out a little bit. But, it's working very well. This planning group is doing tremendous work in making sure that, you know, this is the first year. And we're excited that we're able to even fund one, let alone potentially three economic development projects. And as Heather stated, if within the agreement process the opportunity develops to fund an additional economic development project, we'll certainly look at that and take it to the State Aviation Board's recommendation. It's limited to what we have. So,
and one way to look at the FAA federally funded projects is because you're leveraging 90% return at the federal level. I can tell you, with Connect Oregon, we almost doubled the total funds available in Connect Oregon just with leveraging airport grants, the FAA grants. Out of some $380 million that's gone into Connect Oregon so far, in aviation alone, 59%, maybe 60%, is the leveraged dollars of all of Connect Oregon, any mode. There's an additional $317 or $318 million that's come to local communities because of that leveraging of the dollar. So there's an economic impact to federal funds as well as the third category, which is totally built in. Now, there are some things that the FAA won't fund that could be funded with this, given the constraints of $150,000 per application, and that's subject to change. But I think there's economic impact across all three categories.
And just to clarify for you all, there are airports that are NPS that can't afford their match. And so they wait for Connect Oregon just to submit their normal CIP projects. What our intent is to help out both programs, right? If we have the ability to fund those smaller projects through this program, that would be much better than taking up the room, say, in Connect Oregon, which can do large infrastructure projects. So there is additional room, and this will all work. Some things will work itself out, but there's some really unique opportunities to be able to capture the smaller projects through this program. And, you know, the same sponsors and applicants can use Connect Oregon dollars a little bit differently in their applications.
Please remember that this is not a substitute for Connect Oregon,
no.
Which is a much bigger pot of money. And I would hate to see anybody come away with the idea that this could replace the amount of money that goes to aviation.
A couple million dollars as opposed to what do we, aviation usually gets?
We usually get 20%, give or take.
20 to 25% of the overall pot, which has been roughly 35, 40 million.
Depending on when it's $100 million, we've got about 25%.
Well, it's beginning.
Now it's down $40 million. That up or down, one time it was $8 million, when it first introduced by Ted. The following year, this past iteration, I think we're up to $12 million in aviation. But you look at the total here, $1.7 million is the total amount of dollars. It's a fraction of what Connect Oregon can bring to us.
Going off what you were saying, it makes your applications more competitive.
Well, and that's where I was going to go, and you said it very well. It's really sad when some airports turn down hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars because they can't get the match.
Right.
And Connect Oregon helps some of the medium-sized airports. The reason that the FAA funds are matched in this one is there's small airports that get very little FAA funds, but they can't get
very little
because they can't get a 10% match on $150,000. So I think this is a great program.
Well, and that's why Jeff Kane is really critical in this process, because we're having those conversations as he went through and did his planning meetings with the airports. First question he asked, have you applied for CORE? And we had airports engaged this year that largely haven't been haven't otherwise had the opportunity, so this does have that. And I want to touch on one last thing that Dr. Strucker brought up. You talked about Connect Oregon. There were a couple applications that were rejected because they were asking for additional money from the state because of Connect Oregon previous approval. So we are keeping mindful of that.
I was kind of glad to be rejected because I was on the act and I didn't want to be sitting in this room. My project on the list, and to be real honest, we're third in the state commercially. And it wasn't a big amount of money, and it wasn't worth the potential conflict. So I'm glad to be here today with nothing on the table.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So let's get back to the motion. We have a motion and a second to move forward with Priority 1 and Priority 2 as presented with comments from various people. And I'm sure that we will evaluate those comments for looking towards the future. Is there any further discussion?
I want to add one thing for the planning group and you all. We are open to meeting and discussing this throughout the year to have future discussions with the board as well and what that would look like. It is easier, obviously, to do a rule change than a statutory one. So I encourage you to work with the grant coordinators to maybe have a meeting and talk about some of these things throughout the year, too.
Okay. There's no additional discussion, and to figure out what the other side we're going to have to work together and see if we can figure out. Any further discussion? Okay, I'm going to call a roll on this vote. Doug Wright?
Yes.
Gary Judd?
Yes.
Jim Belay?
Yes.
Sherry Humble? Sorry, Shelly?
Yes.
I gave you an R, I apologize. Jennifer Grove?
Yes.
I'm going to say it wrong. Remind me again, please.
No, you did it. You did it right. You're good.
Okay. Bryn Case?
Yes.
Chuck Covert?
Yes.
Jim Knight?
Yes.
Doug Dowse?
Yes.
Hallie Walker?
Yes.
Craig Pope?
Yes.
Chris Bailey?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. At this point, I would say we maybe take a 5-minute break, get coffee, stretch, and then we'll dive into Priority 3.
That's okay.
Oh gosh, very good.